Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. CliffCentral.com.
This is the Leadership Transformation Platform. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and we're talking leadership and education for the next 20 or 25 minutes. Very, very important. And from the Bridge Projects, Sibongile Khumalo. Welcome, Sibongile.
Thank you, Adrian.
Good to have you with us. And we're going to, last week we looked at bullying. I think it was a really good conversation. What do you think?
I definitely think so. And we've got some key points out that we've shared with principals in the sector about what they can do to avoid bullying in their schools.
Because it is a big thing. I'm surprised that Department of Education and those didn't retweet for you. They often retweet, but not this one. Because this is surely a big issue in schools, bullying. How do I deal with it as a principal? How do I create a culture that resists that sort of thing? But let's keep pushing that specific conversation on bullying by Gordon Cooper. So that was last week. And before we go to today's conversation, which is an extension of the ethical leadership in schools discussion we had a few weeks ago, anything on the education front, Sibongile, that we need to know about? Anything with principals or leadership anywhere?
Yes, most important thing to mention, Arjun, today is there is a big conference by the South African Principals Association happening on the 27th and 28th of May. That's a Friday and Saturday, and it's happening at the Birchwood Conference Center. As I say, this is particularly for principals, and I think it's important. It's a two-day conference, and I think it's important to, they've designed kind of a program to educate and inspire leaders to become better managers and better principals. So definitely something for principals to attend.
And there'll be a lot of principals there.
Yeah.
All right, great. We have in the studio Dr. Sepiwe Mtiane. Welcome.
Thank you.
From the Wits School of Education. And he's done some research on ethical leadership in schools or leadership in schools. A few weeks ago, we spoke about this. We kind of touched the surface. So
we touched the surface. First of all, good afternoon to you in the studio and to the listeners at home. Last time I was here, we spoke basically about instructional leadership in schools.
Yeah.
That was our conversation. There is very little, if there is anything, that we spoke about regarding what we are about to talk about now on ethics and ethical leadership in schools and in education in general.
Because I remember that conversation, very valuable in terms of how do you measure a good school leader.
Yes.
So people must listen to that podcast. We must just try and think of the date that it happened. It's 2 weeks ago, is it?
No, three.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, on the 25th of April, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so that's right, 25th of April. Mm-hmm. Go to that conversation, listen to that, and then you can listen to this one specifically. You've done research.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about that in this field of ethical and moral leadership on a school level.
Okay. Perhaps, Adrian, and the listeners at home, I thought that for this afternoon's discussion, I should, if you don't mind, create the context in which this research on ethics and ethical leadership in education was conducted. You know, as a teacher, I like good stories, and I've got a quick story that I want to read to you and to your listeners, if you don't mind. I've got a book here on leadership. It says, the subheading is No Exceptions. As a young man, Abraham Lincoln worked as a clerk at a general store. One day he realized a customer had overpaid him by a few pennies. Lincoln set out to find her, walking several miles to return the pennies to the customer. The story got around, and soon Lincoln earned the nickname Honest Abe. Later, his unimpeachable honesty and integrity were key factors in helping President Lincoln lead the United States through the most traumatic period in its history, when the very survival of the nation was at stake. With the exception of George Washington, Lincoln is the most admired and respected president of the United States for what he was able to accomplish, but at the heart of his accomplishments was the same integrity that pushed a young Lincoln to return a few pennies to the customer. There should be no exceptions to honesty and fairness. That basically is the story that underpins what we are going to talk
about. The essence, isn't it? Is it part of your character or not?
That's correct.
That's correct.
So let me come back to your question then. About 2-3 years ago, while I was working at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, whenever I met with my students, especially those that I was teaching at Masters, they were saying to me, you know, Dr. Mtiane, you are teaching leadership theories that we don't see being practiced in our schools and in the Department of Education. What is the problem? Of course, the theories that we teach them about are things like democratic leadership, authentic leadership, moral leadership, and so on. So they were saying to me, but these theories, they are not being applied in the Department of Education. We don't see
that. What happens? You know, we learn the theories in the classroom.
Yes.
And then we have to go practice them.
Yes. And then, of course, I would respond and say to them, it is up to you. We teach you to be agents of change. Mm. And we would want you then to go and practice these theories if they are not practiced. But basically, then what happened was then I assembled... I then thought about a research project that I could do, and that project was on ethics and ethical leadership, okay, because I teach that as a theory to my students. So what then happened was I assembled 10 school principals from 3 education districts in KwaZulu-Natal, in the Durban area, from Ilembe, from Umlazi district, and from Pinetown district, and I had semi-structured or purposeful interviews with them regarding their conceptualizations, their practices, and their experiences of ethics and ethical leadership in schools where they worked, and in the circuit offices or districts where they worked. I also then decided later on to include the circuit managers who lead these school principals. And so I interviewed 6 circuit managers, also from the 3 education districts of Ilembe, Umlazi, and Pinetown Education District.
All right, what did you find?
Okay. Perhaps I need to go to the question that was asked. Earlier on, I spoke about the context. Briefly, what has happened in the Department of Education and in the Department of Education and perhaps in schools and at universities, we do research. The research that I have read, especially about financial management in schools, it seems to suggest that there are problems with regard to management of school finances, where there is misappropriation of funds, there are improper control of financial records, both at schools and in the Department of Education. There are quite a number of these unethical practices. One of those that has been mentioned is the abuse, for instance, of the school leave system. You know, teachers have within a cycle of 3 years the right to be away from school, to be absent for up to 36 days, if I'm not mistaken. But you will find that there are teachers, even if they are not sick, who would want to abuse the system and say, I am entitled to my 36 days, so let me use it. Mm. Right now, you have told me that you have got a problem with your throat, but here you are at work. If you are an unethical presenter, you would say, no, I'm not coming to work today because I've got this problem. Mm. And so you would sit at home, even when you can be at work and to do your work.
And that's something in your character again, isn't
it? Of course, yes, it's in your morality as a person. There are also other issues that we have found or heard of that are unethical in schools, and they've been written about. Things like where you have got teachers having sexual relations with learners. Sometimes they would even charge them money to give them better results. The research that I have read, it says there is something called sexually transmitted marks, where people have to sleep with others in order to get better marks at school. You also have a situation where it's pathetic. This also speaks to some of the issues that I read about in the paper and that has come out of my research, where you not only have sexual relations or improper sexual relations between teachers and learners, but you also find that there are adults, teachers like myself, who would sleep with other people in order to get promotions and so on and so forth. But I'm not going to get into that debate today because the report is still out there and we are waiting for it to come out, and then perhaps we can engage in a serious discussion about that.
But really, there's a lot of unethical practices happening.
Yes, but then what is happening? The Department of Education, when it was after 1994, we have a situation in the country where the Department of Education decided to come up with pieces of legislation in order to cap these unethical practices. You have, for instance, the Public Service Act, you also have the SAIS Code of Professional Ethics that came out in 2003, and recently in 2016, the Department of Education came up with what they call the School Principal Professional Standards. All of those pieces of policies and legislation, they require teachers, school principals, school governing bodies, and everybody else that is working in the Department of Education to behave with integrity and not to bring the name of the profession, which is the teaching profession, into disrepute.
You see, it's already a problem when you have to legislate behavior.
Unfortunately, you must have something to fall back on. That is why we've got these pieces that I've referred, pieces of legislation and policies that I've spoken to, that I think the Department of Education, of course, in order to try to resolve this issue, would resort to.
Okay.
So quickly then, what is ethical leadership?
Yes.
What is moral leadership? The literature that I've read, it simply says ethical leadership is a core set of moral principles, values, and beliefs that govern the behavior of a person or a group with regards to what is right or wrong. And this relates to such values as honesty, fairness, interactional fairness, being considerate, and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Also, ethics sets standards of what is good and therefore acceptable and promoted, as well as trustworthy and fairness. And of course, it also speaks to issues that are bad and therefore are despised and frowned upon in conduct and in decision making. So the expectation here is that if you are a teacher, you are going to teach ethically. If you are a school principal, you would be expected to promote ethical behavior in the school, in the manner in which you do whatever you do at the school, in the manner in which you speak to other people. All of those eventually will promote an ethical culture at the school.
Starts with what? The teacher?
My thinking is that it should start with the school principal. It's the principal who sets the scene,
yes,
who sets the tone.
So from
at
a
the
leadership
school.
Point of view, certainly the principal is the one,
yes,
who sets the tone.
But the teacher as well in the classroom, when you are teaching, you need to be teaching ethically. Do you come to the class for your lesson on time? That speaks to ethics. Are you not bribed by parents wanting you to award better marks to their children for whatever other reason other than that which is pedagogical? Those are all ethical issues that teachers are faced with on a daily basis.
And will be tested more and more, Sibongile, as the economy gets worse and as there's less jobs available and more economic pressure. Guess what happens? People's ethical and moral behavior come under scrutiny, doesn't it?
Of course it does, but you know, from a professional point of view and maybe a leadership point of view, all of us need to be ethical as leaders. So I want to know from you, Dr. Mtiani, are ethics an explicit requirement of the job of a principal, as it is for all of us in leadership positions? And if not, or rather also, why is it so much more important to be an ethical leader of a school over and above in other contexts as a leader?
If one could prioritize, would you put the principal very high in society in terms of being an ethical, moral leader as opposed to a corporate CEO maybe?
Exactly.
Or a politician or a local councillor or the mayor? You know, if you had to...
It's the question asked by Sibongile is important. The notion of ethics and ethical leadership is both explicit and implicit. If you read the pieces of legislation that I've spoken to, your SAIS Code of Professional Ethics, it states clearly that we have to be ethical in our conduct. But what is the behavior out there? So the question then is, my findings are that teachers are aware about this, but the practice is a problem.
The theory. So it's fine to say we value ethical moral leadership in the school.
Yes.
Great, we're all happy about that. But if I had to actually measure it, or if I had to describe it by way of behavior, now there we may differ.
Yes, yes. You know,
and ethical moral leadership is always a challenge because, again, one person has is a teacher under huge pressure back home, and what do? You just take this one bribe from a parent because your kids are suffering at home. You're about to lose your house because your husband lost his job. Mm. And then in my view, it's not that unethical and that immoral to just take this one bribe to be able to save my house. Mm. While for another person, it's absolutely always unethical and immoral. Yeah. So it's a silly example, but the context can change in terms of one's view of what ethical
and who polices morality.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Adrenia, correct. Context does matter. If you read literature that I've been exposed to, the Western literature, for instance, will explain, define ethical leadership in different ways than the findings that I have made in my study. Personally, let me come back to the study so that...
Let's get the results there. Yeah,
the results, yes. One of the things that I found as I interview both the school principals and the circuit managers was that their understanding of ethics and ethical leadership in education was congruent with the literature that I had read.
Okay.
For instance, they spoke about integrity, honesty, dignity, fairness, standing up for equality despite criticism from some sections of society and so on. So, it is important here. This, I think, is important because school principals then understand what is ethical leadership.
Theoretically, they understand.
Yes, yes. But then the issue of context, we spoke about context earlier on. What was interesting for me here was that these school principals framed their conceptualizations of ethics and ethical leadership within their contextual realities where endemic corruption and nepotism and patriarchy were rife. For instance, there is one circuit manager who manages one of the circuits at Ilembe, who was telling me a story about how he promoted the role of women in his circuit and in his school when he was a school principal, because he felt that was important. Yes, because that is a rural environment, there is patriarchy there where people still look down upon women, but he still felt that it was important that as a leader, he promoted the role and the value of women in society. One other thing that came out in this study was that the participants spoke at length about honesty, especially in financial management. Mm. A number of school principals have been found to be wanting in that direction, where, you know, when I came to Johannesburg in July last year, I think I mentioned this in the last conversation, there was a story making rounds that one school, an ex-Model C school in the south of Johannesburg, was implicated in, the school governing body and the former school principal were implicated in financial mismanagement to a tune of about, 8 million rands. That happens a lot in our schools. Especially in the township school or in rural schools, but also in ex-Model C schools. Perhaps if I may take you back to this research, you know, in the South African Schools Act, there is a section called Section 38. Section 38 allows school governing bodies, those that have the financial means to employ people, teachers, non-personnel, and so on and so forth, to do work at the school. As a result of this, you find that in ex-Model C schools mainly, half the staff would be employed by the school governing body, and these teachers would be managed by, of course, your HODs there and the school principal and the deputy principal. But what you find happening is that the school principals, when they work with school governing bodies, they would manipulate the information as to how much they should be paid for this extra work that they are performing of managing the school with their sorry, for the teacher, for, with regard to the extra teachers that are employed by the governing bodies. So you find that the school principal, he or she is the only person who is aware how much he is earning. The governing body that employs him does not know how much he is earning from the school. That is highly unethical.
Okay, now we have lots of examples. We'll have to come to some kind of conclusion. How do we overcome these challenges? We've got a minute or two on that. How do we overcome these challenges?
There are quite a number of areas that we need to touch on. One of those, of course, would be that as universities, we need to be seen to be doing something where we craft and we promote and we teach courses that speak to issues of ethics and ethical leadership.
Much more practically, maybe.
Yes. Where we provide programs at universities. I think we have started doing this with the A school leadership. Next year, we are going to have the advanced diploma in school leadership. As a lecturer and as someone who is passionate about their ethics and ethical leadership, I have made it a point that in that program, the advanced diploma in school leadership, we infuse the issues of ethics and ethical leadership.
Okay.
But number two,
we'll have to leave it at number two very quickly, and then I just want to get final comments.
You know, we're talking here about issues of ethics and ethical leadership.
Mm.
I think SAIS, the South African Council of Educators, it has to be strengthened. Right now, it is not. In fact, the research that I have read, it seems to suggest that it is also implicated in what is called an insidious relationship with teacher unions. As a result of this, it is unable, or it is seen to be unable to do what it is supposed to do.
So SAIS must also come to the party.
That's correct.
Okay, Dr. Sipiwe Mtiani, thank you so much. Seems like we run out of time again. Sibongile, final comments, wrap up, and Louis, maybe final comments then.
Yeah, just to say that I think this is a topic that we can go on and on about, and maybe we need to infuse it in some of our conversations with leaders in this radio show. But also, I mean, I think there's a recognition that ethical leadership is for the benefit of all our children in the schooling system and needs to.
That's very true.
Very good point. When we interview principals on here, we ask them, what are you specifically doing about ethical moral leadership? Let's incorporate it in here. Louis, final comment?
Doctor, thank you. We want to assure you that this team has been running all the top leaders in all parts of the industry.
Mm.
They nowadays always come back to a solid value system.
Mm.
So what you're doing is very important. How on earth can we start this culture growing if we don't start it at schools?
Mm. Very true. Very true.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your show, and I hope to come back very soon to discuss other issues. Thank you.
Keep your passion going. We need that, especially there where you find yourself.
Thank you.
That's Ethical Moral Leadership, and that was the Leadership Transformation Platform the last 3 hours. We'll continue our Leadership in Education conversations next week, Monday, again at 2:30 GMT plus 2. And we look forward to being with you next week again on the Leadership Transformation Platform.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
Cliffcentral.com.